Hey guys, it's Doc from DLC. We've been fortunate enough to catch up with Daniel Levy, commonly known as the infamous Broker Man Daniel. Are you there, Dan?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here, Doc.
I've kind of staved off getting in contact with you actually, Dan, since your recent appointment as interim executive chairman at Sefton. Kind of let the dust settle a little bit and perhaps give you a bit of breathing space. But do you want to tell us a little bit about the recent appointment and how it came to pass?
Yes, no problem. Yeah. I think everyone's aware of what the historical issues were with myself and the well-known financial City of London journalist, Mr. Thomas Zachariah Winifred. But that's all by the by, and it's water under the bridge, and we move on forward now. So just to say that my interest within Sefton was always for the benefit of shareholders. Whatever I have done post and previous and going forward, it is for the benefit of shareholders. That's my number one priority. So where we are now with Sefton is that we've been over to speak to the Bank of the West, and we've got a good rapport going on with them. We're progressing the lien, which are the cross guarantee that's still, as of today, in the company, but should be somewhere along the line, should be negotiated out, providing that the Bank of the West agree. It's not a foregone conclusion. And we've been to the office in Denver, and we've done lots of due diligence in there. We're working our way through the books and making sure that everything is tickety-boo. And at the end of the process, we will be hopefully bringing in some new assets that are cash generative, and producing about 250 barrels of oil a day, which could, with the right workovers, be up to 1,000 barrels of oil a day by the end of the year. It's a long process, but we believe that we're on track, and I'm much more happier now that we've spoken to the bank and we've spoken to employees of Sefton in Denver over the last couple of days, and I'm far more happier today than I have ever been regarding the survival of this company.
So just to fill in a few gaps, Dan, perhaps for people that are not aware of the legacy story, the company had got assets out in the US. They were kind of heavy oil, labour intensive assets that probably in today's market actually wouldn't be viable. So you've been out there to take care of tying up some of the older ends of the business, clear up any legacy issues that might have been remaining, had some discussions with the bank, which I'm assuming will be leading to a more fluid ability for Sefton, both financially and otherwise, moving forward. And now you're looking at kind of new assets. I noticed that you brought on Jim Mellon. It seems to be something that it surprised me, I've got to say. But you know, do you want to tell us a little bit about that? I mean, are you aware of Jim coming on board and what his interests are? And also, you know, have you got any more kind of white rabbits to pull out of a hat?
I can't really answer that, because our agreement with Jim Mellon, not Jim Ellerton, too many Jims spoil the broth, as they say. Our agreement with Jim Mellon is basically subject to confidentiality, and we can't progress down that road at all. But suffice it to say that, you know, as far as I'm aware, that, you know, all the legacy issues, the legacy issues and what you've spoken of just now, you know, all these are being ironed out. And we are in a transitional period where we're redirecting the company towards producing assets. And assets at this time, you know, were distressed assets with the oil price where it is. And it's a good time to be buying into those assets and bringing new assets into the company, because there's a huge potential upside once the oil price begins to rise steadily and consistently over the next year, which we believe that, you know, it's going to rise eventually. It's not going to stay at $40, $50, $60 a barrel. It's going to start rising. So we're in the company in a transition, and we're moving forward on all fronts. We're not sat still. You know, well, I've been sat here now. I've had 4 emails and 2 missed calls. So these are from people heavily involved in the company and organising the turnaround. It's not just me running around. You know, there are people from KPMG helping us pro bono. There are people from other London listed oil companies helping us pro bono. And we have people out there who are taking care of business for us, even as we speak. You know, it's shareholders and everything. You know, what's been lost with this company? management, we've got a discredited management, not the guys that are in charge and the board that's still there that have really worked really hard and done very well to keep Zepton going, but previous discredited management, and in particular the PR people, you know, were only interested in one thing, and that was fleecing UK investors to take out as much money as they possibly could to keep their lifestyle.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest,
I can't go into detail on that, obviously.
Yeah, Dan, to be...
That's the way the company was being run.
Yeah, to be fair, I think that story has been well, you know, documented over the years.
But it's been reinforced with my, you know, reading confidential information. That's basically the way the company had gone. You know, it may have been a great story at the beginning, but somewhere along the line, the focus was lost, and it just became more of a lifestyle company than anything else.
All right. So the next question, I guess that are going to be on the lips of investors is, you know, it's been announced, you know, very recently that you've raised some funds, and that's obviously give you a slug of working capital to go forward. I've spoke to a number of oil companies, junior oil companies like yourself, which I've got a bit of cash, and needless to say, we're all aware that you know, cash is king right now, and whilst the oil price is low, there's less appetite out there for some people, which makes your position probably more competitive than ever. So, you know, other than a brief overview that you kind of run over at the start of this interview, what do you intend to do? Where would this slug of cash sit you, working capital wise? You know, what kind of time frame will that cover? And, you know, how quickly will it be sunk? I'm assuming into the ground rather than into corporate pockets. So, you know, just a bit more about that. Are you going to be coming back to market quickly for a follow-up? Is this giving you enough cash for an interim period to get, you know, things moving?
Yeah.
And how quickly can that cash start being sunk into the ground rather than being tied up?
You know, it's a $55 million question, isn't it? What we're trying to do is we're trying to preserve cash at all times. So what we don't want to do is we don't want to be going out with funds, you know, hard-earned funds as well, because it's not been easy raising this cash and giving that away to the first asset that comes our way. The whole idea of the placing is to make sure that the company are financially viable for at least the next 12 months. Now, that doesn't mean to say that we wouldn't come back to the market, because we need to be honest with our shareholders. Somewhere along the line, as all AIM companies do, and particularly ones like ourselves, if the right assets came and the right production came that we could buy into, and these were what I would class as company-making assets, well, then we would have to do some kind of deal where we would come back to the market. But whether that would be in 6 months or 12 months, it would depend on what the assets were. I don't think that immediately after raising X amount of money, which is what we've done, which is the initial placing, that we would be coming immediately back to the market. What we're interested in is we're interested in preserving shareholder value. Now, I know that people say that you've been diluted and so on and so forth, but you have been diluted, but I've been diluted. But the situation is this, is that, you know, you've still got a company, and you've got a company going forward, and you've got a company whose share price, bringing in, if we bring in the right assets, which is what we're trying to do, and not just the right assets, but the right team, but the share price could be multiples of where it is today. That's what we're aiming for. We're aiming to bring shareholder value back into the company. Our whole reason for existence is for shareholders, is to make sure that shareholders are taken care of, because at this level, it is shareholders who basically have the yay or nay on the company. And if we can create that interest and bring that value back for shareholders, it bodes well for the future. And that's what we're trying to do. It's all about bringing shareholder value back. We know that shareholders have been kicked in the teeth, you know, many, many times. And there are people out there that are sat on massive paper losses. But if you stick with us and hold your stock and don't trade the stock, hold the stock, you know, value will start to come back, particularly with the assets that we're lining up and we're trying to bring in. So it's just a case of sticking with the company and believing it. This company are like no other at the moment. We're a total different company to every single company or resource company on the alternative investment market. You know, I can guarantee you, and I give, you know, shareholders my word, that I am working 24/7 for the interest of shareholders, not for the interest of market makers or brokers or nomads or big city in London financial institutions. We are working for shareholders, and that will become apparent when we contact certain shareholders who are going to be shareholder representatives. So they'll have board access as well. So we've got a whole plethora of initiatives that we're going to try and run and to engage shareholders and bring them back into the company and to let shareholders have a say about what's going on within the company. So it's really an exciting time. The only problem I've got is that I won't be here for the, I don't suppose I'll be here in 2 years' time. I'm here interim only, just to make sure that we can get the company on a sound financial footing, bring in the right team, which we're doing, and we've got some big names coming in as well. And then I'll be bowing out, making sure that the company are left in a fantastic position, vis-a-vis where they were 3 weeks ago.
Well, it's a dynamic, holistic outview and story today. I wish you all the very best of luck in the short term and long term period.
We'll try. You can only try. Better to have loved and lost than never to have loved at all, Doc. And may I say, Doc, I'd like to thank you for your support. Not just your support overtly, but your support behind, and your it's well appreciated.
All right, mate. No worries. Well, listen, it's been a strange one, really, chatting on the record nonetheless, it kind of. Well, it gives us a bit of insight. It gives shareholders and potential investors and the retail market an idea of, what can actually be achieved if you put the hard efforts and obviously a little bit of rolling up of the sleeves and getting down to the knuckle. It's something that we don't see a lot of. Clearly, you're taking this extremely seriously. So best of luck, and let's chat again soon.
Okay, thanks, Doc. Well, thanks to all the DLC listeners as well for listening to me. I know I can be a pain in the ass at times, but that's life.
Cheers, Dan.
Okay, thanks, everybody.
All right, thanks, Dan. Bye, Dan. Cheers, mate.